Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome one and all to another episode of the FSHD Society Radio Show. And this is the podcast episode that we normally put on the first Wednesday of every month, which means we have a great featured guest in store and scheduled, hence why we have our traditional 8 o'clock start today. Welcome. Thanks for being here. If you want to get in touch with me, you can. We're going to do email here for the first segment. That would be fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. You can send me emails. I'm lonely in my email box, guys. You haven't been sending me anything. What do you want shows to be about? You got guests you want me to contact? Topics you want to cover? Questions about me or the show? Shoot them my way. I'd love to hear from you. God knows I got a lot of time on my hands. And I'm sure we all do. Maybe we're getting projects done around the house. Maybe there's great shows we're watching. I don't know. I'd love to hear from you, though, and know what you've been doing to kind of keep yourself sane and busy and being productive. That's always important in these trying times, which is what we are in. And I know we're in it together, right? But I'm glad you're here tonight because we're going to learn, I think, about something we're all going to need to know more about, and that is jobs, employment, especially in regards to this current situation a little bit. We're going to talk with Lynn Stevens today. She's from Louisiana. She works for Goodwill. She's the director of workforce development. So when we get her on the line, she's scheduled to be here at, let's see, 8:12. Be here meaning via phone. I'll call her up. You'll see that radio magic happening if you're watching live on Facebook. If you want to see past shows or listen to past shows, I should say, well, I guess you can see them. I think FSHD Society .org has it on their Facebook page if you want to watch the past shows and listen. Also, anywhere you find podcasts. We're on Spotify and Stitcher and Google, many, many, many platforms. And you can find the show, share the show, and tell your friends. And this isn't, I don't think, just a show really just about those that have FSHD and the patients and the family members or the caregivers. I think the show does go beyond that many, many times. So share it with your friends. Let them know. Get them a little peek into your world. If you're watching right now, I'm trying to adjust myself on this chair. And I'll tell you, it's not my normal chair I use. It's not. I sacrificed my regular studio chair to my wife upstairs that has a home office now, considering this COVID thing. And she was tired of the chair she was sitting on. I sacrificed mine. And now I'm on this high chair, like a draftsman's chair, if you know what that is. A little taller. You might see me a little taller. And it feels like I'm on a tiny little stilt, ready just to tip off. But I will hang in there. Those are the sacrifices that we do. A little quick shout out to Ann Williams from Alabama. Hello, thanks for being here. And Alexandria, FSHE. Hello, how's it going? Hello from Lethbridge. Okay, where exactly is Lethbridge? I am geographically ignorant. Can you expand on that? I'm interested. Alexandria. That's great. So welcome. Tell your friends, quick hit share, whatever you got to do on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Take a picture of maybe what you're seeing here in the studio and say, hey, you guys got to listen to this show. This is a lot of fun because we're going to have Lynn Stevens on very shortly. She is, as I mentioned, the director of workforce development with Goodwill out of Louisiana. I think she's going to have a lot of good things to share and talk to us about. And I can relate because I'm going to have to be probably looking for something else to do myself when it comes to income. I'd love to do this. Eh? That'd be fun. But I don't know if that's really in the cards. But if you do know of any radio jobs available, you know, I can work remotely, as you can see. Other thing is, we got Mother's Day coming up on Sunday. Why don't you honor your mother by going to fshdsociety.org and post an amazing picture of your mom and what she means to you as we celebrate the amazing moms in the FSHD community. share their stories. As I said, their pictures, little quick information you fill out. It's really simple and easy and a lot of fun. And I think it would be a great way to honor your moms. So check that out, fshdsociety.org. I think there's also links on Facebook. That's something to do. Don't forget Voice of the Patient coming up in June. That's, you know, next month, not that far away, June 29th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. East. They are going to do a webcast. You can register for that. They're kind of, you know, piggybacking it with the little meet and greet out there in at the big conference in Washington. We'll see if that happens, but I know there's plans of possibly doing a lot of things virtually in regards to that weekend's events. So we'll see. We'll see how it all goes. Also, check out the brand new radio page on fshdsociety.org. This FSHD Society radio show has its own little landing spot, thanks to Lee Reynolds, who put that together. So I'm excited, and it's neat that it's up there. So if you want to learn more about the show or myself, and or if you forgot the email address, which is fshdradio@fshdsociety.org, my contact information is on that page as well. So those are the news and things I wanted to share with you real quickly. So welcome all. To keep chatting in on that, I know a lot of you are probably looking forward to the featured guest, because in the past several weeks, I've come on every week just kind of doing what I call the sequester series shows, where we just kind of banter and you guys have some fun things to share on the comment page. If it has to do with how you're keeping yourself busy or shows you're watching or keeping yourself active. And, you know, that was a hot topic, or other type of therapies and those kind of subjects we just talk about. And really, those shows are really about you. They were just about us connecting and someone else maybe you want to talk to or see, besides maybe your own family or circle that are in your home. And I thought, what a great time that we could have just kind of sharing about an hour once a week. I can definitely continue those shows through May. But traditionally, this is our normal time slot. So the Sequester series shows are on usually at 6 Central. I kind of move them up a little bit. Not a total rhyme and reason why. I keep the show standard because I've already arranged guests at this time. I don't want to mess up their life too much. And so the Sequester series shows, I figured I'd leave a little earlier. Time slot seems to fit. So if you got information or things you want to talk about, I should say, for those Sequester series shows coming up weekly, send me those emails, right? Load me up with ideas. What do you want to talk about? Let's start the juices flowing already for next week at fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. Lee Reynolds chimes in. Hey, Lee, thanks for joining us. I think you're out of Missouri, right, Lee? I'm just kind of doing a quick, where's everybody from? And I believe she is, because I know she's mentioned she's a Royals fan, which is kind of cool and respectable, not a Cardinals fan. What else do I want to share before we take our first break and bring in our guest? Oh, yes. Next month's main podcast episode, right? This kind of show on June 3rd. It'll be 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. East. We're going to have Mitch Wade and Bill Herzberg on from Ramp Fitness out of Portland. They have a weekly webinar series. You can find that on fshdsociety.org. And where they kind of come on and show about how being active and doing certain exercises and things. And it's kind of cool, right? And they're going to be our guests. I figured since they're coming on each week and showing what they got and what we can do, and these are exercises and looks like fitness things that are catered to FSHD world. So it's something that you can definitely give a try. And like I've said in my break, which is going to be coming up, get moving, get active. And Mitch and Bill are going to talk to us about that. So I'm excited for that. So why don't we take this moment right now and take a little break, and I am going to get Lynn Stevens on the line in the meanwhile and get that side of the show going, because I know we're all excited to hear what she has to say. All right, you're listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show. You're listening to FSHD Society Radio. Hi, this is Tim, host of the FSHD Society Radio Show. Check this out. In 2014, a Dutch team reported that aerobic exercise training, cognitive behavioral therapy, decreased fatigue and improved the quality of life significantly for FSHD patients. This suggests a significant positive impact in slowing the degeneration of affected muscles. So no excuses. Get out there, get active, Get after it. You can do this. We can fight it. Hey, welcome back to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here, all of you checking us out on Facebook Live. I don't want to wait any longer because I'm excited to have this next guest on. She is the Director of Workforce Development at Goodwill Industries out of Louisiana. We welcome in now Lynn Stevens, our featured guest. Hello, Lynn.
Hi, good evening.
How are you doing there in Louisiana?
It's been a really long day. I am actually not even done with work yet.
Oh, my goodness. You're not going to get in trouble talking to me now, are you?
Oh, no. This is break time.
Oh, good. Okay. Good. So.
And I'm the boss, so hey. And,
oh, well, all right. Well, okay. in that case, then we're talking to the right person then for all of this. Now, you work for Goodwill Industries, the Director of Workforce Development. And I think you are an interesting guest to bring on. But before we get too farther in the work you do for Goodwill, tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe your FSHD story.
Wow. Okay. So I am a middle-aged woman. How's that? who has had FSH for, well, really all of my life, but I really was not diagnosed till I was 22. Always knew something was wrong with me growing up, but never really knew what exactly. I just thought I was different and special and, you know, just wasn't the athletic kid in school because I grew up fairly normal. I just really had some facial weakness and, you know, kind of some winging, but at the time I didn't know it was really winging. I just was really, really skinny at that point in my life. But really for the most part, I grew up in a small rural town in Fairmount, Indiana, which do you know what that's known for?
No, I don't.
It's the hometown of James Dean. It's the only thing that keeps it on the map.
Nice.
So it's about a town of 1,000 people, and so the doctor was also the vet, was also the pharmacist.
Oh, jeez.
So because of that, I really didn't get probably the quality of care that you would get today. And so, you know, you just went to the doctor and got your shots, and, you know, if you had a cold and that kind of stuff. So didn't really understand what was going on in my life till I actually was pregnant with my daughter and knew at that point something was definitely different. And took about a full year to get diagnosed, and was actually a fluke of a of how I got diagnosed was kind of a fluke because my husband is in the military. Well, he was in the military, was in the Air Force. And at the time, you know, if you went to a military doctor, you saw whoever was on call that day. So every time you went to the doctor, it was a different doctor on call. So you never had the same doctor consistency-wise. And the doctor I just happened to walk in that day said, had just finished a neurology rotation. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I know exactly what's wrong with you. And, you know, you hear the words, you have muscular dystrophy, because he didn't know what kind. He just says, I know what you got. You got muscular dystrophy. And, you know, at 22 and a newborn daughter in your arms, you're kind of like, oh, I'm gonna die, you know.
Right.
So
yeah.
Kind of your first wham in your face kind of thing. And so they didn't have the blood test at that time, so I did a lot of biopsies and EMGs and, you know, all those good fun tests that they used to do that they don't do so much anymore, or maybe they do, I don't know. And lo and behold, that's what they finally landed on.
And
at the time, I had no idea what to expect.
Yeah, I would imagine in a time where, you have a newborn, it's an exciting time, right? It's a happy time. And then you get hit with this, kind of a lot to carry with you. That is for sure. When it comes to that kind of news, I know I've interviewed a lot of people that have had, or, you know, and shared their diagnosis story, their FSHD story, as I like to call it, it does seem kind of, in a lot of cases, almost like a doom and gloom diagnosis. Did you get that sense then?
Oh yeah, I thought I was going to die. I mean, I instantly, and my daughter, you know, I looked down at her and thought, oh my God, I'm never going to see her go to school or get married or, you know, any of those things that kind of hit me. And my husband was doing a lot of TDYs at the time. So I was, you know, halfway across the country from any family alone going, oh my gosh, I'm going to die.
Right.
So it was pretty emotional time. I definitely went through what I call the stages of grief, you know, of getting to the acceptance phase. It took time. And now I tell people it's the best day of my life because, you know, I live like, you know, tomorrow may not get here or tomorrow I may not get out of bed. So let's just enjoy every day. I definitely have had a bucket list forever, and probably before the bucket list movie even come out, I had the bucket list. And, you know, this year is, we're going, every year I'm crossing something off my list.
Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. So, I mean, you kind of took it as a positive moment of, I'm going to get it done. Like, I'm going to do these things and I'm going to attack life and I'm going to make the best of what I have as in time. I've heard that a lot. I can't say I've done a lot of bucket list things, but I think I've told a lot of people that it's not that I was a really bad person prior to diagnosis, but I think I was just unaware of people's real everyday struggles for whatever that was. And for me, when I got diagnosed and it was one of those moments where there's no way, I thought immediately, there's no way I'm the only person getting this kind of news today. Yeah, I'm like, it was eye-opening. I was watching people go into the doctor's building, and I knew when I was wondering, I wonder how many of those people are walking in feeling a certain way and then walking out feeling completely devastated because they're just given some type of news like I was given today. And instead of it becoming my selfish thing, yeah, I thought, man, there's got to be more people. And then that's why I tried to find a community like this to be a part of.
Yeah, it took me a long time to find FSH Society. I mean, I went through MBA, but it was always a different kind. And honestly, until I moved to Louisiana in 2007, I had never met anybody with FSH. So, and I'd had this 20-some years at that point in my life.
Wow.
And so I ended up actually driving to Dallas and going to a meetup over there and actually met June there. And that's kind of how I found the society. And so, and since then I've connected with several folks around me and, you know, kind of started stuff informal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all different. What I've learned is, yeah, we all have this common link, but what I face and what you face and what they face is totally night and day sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you got diagnosed, and what were you doing for work or a living at that point, if you can share that? And then how did that change your perspective on what you're going to do, you know, work-wise, career-wise?
Yeah, I was diagnosed in 1992 and officially confirmed in 93. And I actually was working for PepsiCo at the time because my husband was military.
Mm-hmm.
I had to find a job that was very fluid across the country because my husband is actually a weatherman. So I always say
cool.
He gets paid to lie for a living kind of thing. Because he's never right. And he still gets paid. So, hey, we're okay. And so he is at the Air Force. In the Air Force, the Air Force did weather for just about all services in the military. So we could be on a force post or we could have been on a Navy base. We could have been all over the country. And there's a shortage of weathermen, believe it or not. And so we moved about every 9 months on average. So came to the point you didn't hang anything on a wall. You left stuff packed up. And so with that, I needed something very flexible. So I actually grew up kind of humorous. I grew up working, you know, at Taco Bell. And, you know, as a 16-year-old kid, and who would have thought that I basically stuck with that company and worked my way up into corporate America and was actually basically what they called a troubleshooter. So I would go into stores that they suspected theft.
Okay.
And I was basically the spy. I had to figure out what was going on and who was stealing and how they were stealing. And then I got to fire everybody and then rehire the whole staff.
Holy smokes. And retrain
them. And man. So we had a lot of stores under my belt.
Yeah.
And it was pretty portable job. And I not only knew how to make the food and eat the food, but I also knew the accounting part of it. And so that's kind of what I did for a lot of years. And eventually ended up in Oregon. And I had a very dear friend of mine that passed away. And I just felt like something was pulling at my heart to do something different at the time. Mm-hmm. It was right after Hurricane Charley, which was way before Katrina. And I just experienced that down in some stores and saw a lot of deaths. And yeah. It just really, everything was kind of, the timing of it was just weird. And so somebody, when we moved to Oregon, asked me to run a children's museum. And I thought, well, I've never done anything like this, but it sounded fun. And at the time I had just had my second child. And so they told me I could bring my son with me to work every day. And I thought, well, that's even better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so did that for almost 3 years and loved it. It's probably the funnest job I ever had because I tell people I got to play every day. And my son got to go to work with me every day. So that was really, really cool. But that was kind of my trek into the nonprofit world. And what I found out about nonprofits is they're truly our businesses. They just technically aren't supposed to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, it's supposed to give back to the society, you know, to society and the culture and the community that we all are in. But you have to run it like a business. So everything I learned in PepsiCo growing up, from being a worker bee up through management, this was really a beautiful segue into the nonprofit world. And so that's kind of how I got into the nonprofit world and really did several different things in the nonprofit world and ultimately landed it to the point of running a homeless shelter here in Louisiana. My husband had been transferred here, and when I got here, they were hiring a new director of administration here. And so it was a family shelter, which is one of the unique ones in the country that, you know, you hear a lot of men's shelter or women's shelters, right, but not a lot of family shelters. And this one was pretty unique. And they asked me to come and work for them, and I did. But about year three into it, I started falling. And I noticed I was getting weaker. Of course, I was a little bit older too, and I was just attributed to, I didn't work out as much as I used to. I wasn't as physical as I used to be in PepsiCo. I mean, you always start thinking it's not the disease, it's this or that kind of thing. And ultimately, I realized I just wasn't going to be able to stay at that job, just the environment of a shelter being open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, you know, people bringing homeless at all hours of the day and fire alarms getting pulled and you name it, it happens at a shelter. Mm-hmm. And so it really just, the stress of it started really eating away. And my husband, and I'm kind of person that I hated to ask anybody to leave. You know, I could never work at a dog shelter, I told my husband, because I'd bring all those dogs home.
Yeah, bring all home, right.
But that's kind of, but the family shelter, it wasn't about the parents, it was about those kids. Mm. You know, I knew I had to ask them to leave, I knew that kid had nowhere to go, and it really took a toll on my heart.
Right. So you definitely.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, it sounds like then that you did find your calling, especially when you're saying that it pulled at your heart. So you were invested emotionally. Sounds like you knew you were doing something good, even though it came sometimes at I guess maybe like a bad cost to your spirit a little bit.
Right.
So what did you do about that situation? Did you move on to something else?
I did. I actually had a beautiful thing happen about the time I was really just starting to question everything, and an opportunity at the United Way here in Louisiana opened up. And so I was the chief operating officer there.
Wow.
And it was not as physical of a job. And I did that for almost 9 years. So I was what I call the keeper of the clipboard. I was the person that got to decide where all the money went in the community every year. Hmm. And, so again, it had that impact piece that I love, but it was less physical on my body kind of thing. But ultimately, my health, it continued to deteriorate. Even then, wasn't as many hours, but ultimately the disease was, getting harder and harder, and every day is a new challenge, as I say. And had some really bad accidents, one that really happened on my way in the door, and I don't even remember what happened because I have really kind of a TBI because of it. I fell and knocked out my front teeth, and I wasn't supposed to be going to work anyway, so I was in trouble, and I knew I was going to be in trouble when I woke up. My husband's like, "You're not supposed to be going anywhere," kind of thing. And so
yeah.
I'll just sneak in and get the mail and do something. And of course, I have a big old accident. Ambulance ride, had to have my mouth wired shut for a big period. Teeth implanted. It was tough.
Wow, that is difficult.
Very difficult. And at the time, the Goodwill, about that time, my husband was like, you need to get some help. And even though I've worked in this space and I gave this money away in the community, I really had my blinders on about getting help for myself.
Yeah.
And that's probably the message I'd love everybody to know, is there's definitely help out there, and you just got to know where to look. And even me being in the space had to really have my husband really point it out to me that, you can get help. It's okay to get help.
And there's
help out there. You just got to look around and find the help you need.
So we're talking with, we're talking with Lynn Stevens, now is the director of workforce development with Goodwill out of Northern Louisiana. So it sounds like then your husband kind of gave you this kind of poke in the side to help you kind of redirect your thought process of maybe what to do from there. Is that when Goodwill was the answer for you?
That was when Goodwill was the answer for me. So I ended up, in our lobby there's a rack of brochures, just like in pretty much every nonprofit or any doctor's office, there's always this rack of brochures. And, he basically picked up several of them and said, "Hey, you can get some help. You can get some job training, or they can help you find a new job that's going to be more on your pace or your level. You need to reach out to these folks." And it was the Voc Rehab here in the state. And, I kind of knew about them, but, again, I sent a lot of people there, but I didn't really know everything they did. And that was pretty sad. I wish I would have known sooner, kind of thing. Because since then, I've sent a lot of people there, because it is a pretty beautiful thing of what they can do and help people do. Anybody with a disability, and it doesn't matter what kind of disability.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just about everything in the world anymore that qualifies as a disability. So that's the even better thing, because pretty much everybody can qualify for service, in some level, in some capacity. And so that's how I started. I started working with Goodwill, and I had actually worked and funded Goodwill at United Way for years and years upon years. And they had, you know, for 100 years, that's all they, you know, they've really done is worked with individuals with barriers. And one of the biggest barriers in people and clients that they work with are people with disabilities. And so it was a beautiful segue for me to just walk in and really kind of start in this position. They had somebody who was leaving this position at the time, you know, get the training I needed to really take over running kind of a workforce department and really make that impact piece that I really still think I have to have in my life. And so that's what I do every day. I wait for people to come through the door or call or connect, and we help find them jobs. And it's a really amazing thing because there are a lot of employers out there that won't admit that they'll work with you, but they do hire people with all kinds of barriers, whether it be a disability, a criminal conviction. You know, there's all kinds of things that we help people get jobs to do. And so it's pretty neat little place. And the thing that a lot of people don't probably realize is, you know, there is Goodwill is a network that works across just about every community in the country. And there's even some overseas. It's an international organization. And so there are pretty much job centers out there for every person that could tap into and get connected to resources. And so that's really a neat thing to do as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I know personally that's kind of something I'm trying to work out in my world as well as I try to use the word pivot my life a little bit. This COVID-19 thing kind of put a little wrench in any type of job search to make that easier at this point. But we're talking with Lynn Stevens, Director of Workforce Development with Goodwill through Northern Louisiana. On Facebook, there are those that are listening in and watching in. If you have questions for Lynn when it comes to what she's been talking about, feel free to put those on. We'll try to get those through to her for you. But I had some questions as you were speaking, and even prior to this interview, you know, I tried to get a little bit of them are selfish questions, selfish driven, but also people that I know that have had disabilities or tried to make an adjustment from what they used to do to something else that they do. And for me personally, I find it to be almost like I'm trying to walk into a strong wind. It just feels like resistance. I'm almost like stuck in my own head to try to figure out what am I supposed to do now? So for those that are trying to figure out, and we'll use, let's say, someone that has had a physical type job, if it'd be like a warehouse job or something where it was physical labor, even something maybe as extreme as like a roofer or something of that nature, and they are either dealing with FSHD now or another disability for that matter. Is there any advice you could give, you know, those of, you know, when is it time to find that help, like your husband, you know, mentioned to you? When it was time to, okay, find something else. How are we going to know? And then what would be the first steps? Is it walking in or finding a local Goodwill near us?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think everybody goes through that question and answer period in their own mind. And you have to do what's right for you at the time. You know, it took me a long time to get there and, you know, it took a major fall and an injury that really I still face the repercussions today from it to get to that point. I'm pretty stubborn and pretty driven anyway, so it will vary by person. But what I do know is every person out there that could be listening to us today is, if you don't know where to start, there. What I would tell you to do is pick up the phone and dial 211. And 211 can connect you. Say, I am looking for employment. Where do you suggest to go? I do have a disability. And they will connect you to the right resources at the time. Because what may be in your neighborhood or in your backyard may not exist. And what I will tell you is, even though we're a network of 158 Goodwills in the country, we all do very different things, but very similar things. So, you know, our mission is about getting, and it's about improving people's lives through the power of work. And so because of that, we're all about getting people jobs. But, you know, some, like in San Antonio, they may only work, you know, their population is a lot more military, so they have a lot more veterans programs. Mm-hmm. And veterans, you know, with disabilities and things like that. So everyone's unique and different. But yeah, I always tell people go to Goodwill, because if you walk into a job center, the best thing I can tell you that it makes them different from what I call an American job center that may exist in your backyard is
right.
You're going to get somebody that's going to stand beside you the entire time that you work with a Goodwill. Hmm. You're going to have a case manager, and that case manager becomes a really good friend usually to you, and really gets to know you and gets to know what you're really passionate about. Because the one thing about work is if you don't like what you do, you're not going to stay with it. So it's not just about doing a job. It's finding something you like to do.
Right.
So if you got somebody that's been in a warehouse, I mean, just because they've been in a warehouse for a lot of years doesn't mean they really like it. I mean, they got to pay bills, and I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you may not get to plan C until you go through plan A and plan B. And so what I mean by that is you may have to continue. We may have to find that person another warehouse job temporarily, but let's figure out what you really ultimately want to do, and let's figure out how to do that. Because there's a lot of money out there that will pay for training for you, so it's absolutely free, and you don't have to always be a warehouse guy.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people don't realize. They just realize, oh, I got to have a job because my rent's due next month, or my mortgage, or
right. Got
to feed the kids,
yeah.
Or, you know, and that's important. But there's also an important thing that you got to realize is if you're not happy, you're not going to, you know, it makes getting out of bed some days when you have a headache a little bit harder to get out of bed.
Yeah. When you don't like where you're going. Right. Now, how about this situation? If someone is, you know, they're making a job switch, or they have to, either because they fell or something happened at work, and or it's just like what happened for you, Lynn, where it was kind of a slap in the face, literally, unfortunately for you, but figuratively maybe for others, or that it's just this realization that they have to find something else. And when they do, either if it's through Goodwill or other resources, let's say it pays less, you know, but this is what the best opportunity they have at the time. Is that, you know, what kind of advice do we give to those? You know, do we just take that opportunity as that and adjust budgets and this and try to make it work? As you said, as long as it's at least a step A and you keep working forward?
Yeah, so it really depends on the circumstance, because if it's a step less,
mm-hmm.
there could be a program that actually offsets that difference. So in every state and every community out there, there are special programs that individuals that deal with the workforce, you know, environment, they're aware of that you as a citizen will never know exist. And so there's times, I mean, there's some programs that, and people that I'm able to even pay their rent temporarily while they're going to work
wow.
and getting in training.
Okay.
As long as they're making strides to, you know, get a better job. And that's a beautiful thing that a lot of people don't even know that exists out there. The other thing I will tell you is there's a lot of resources I'm able to also connect people to. So if you come in and you can't pay, step A and it does pay less, you know, I can pick up the phone today and call the food bank, and I can have food for you for the next 6 months, probably,
mm-hmm.
which would offset that shortage a little bit for you. So the resources is not just about jobs. It's about the partnerships that exist by getting to know your case manager and having them be able to connect you to other resources that you don't even really think, gosh, well, that saves me money on groceries. So now I can pay, you know, these other bills.
Mm-hmm.
You're not figuring out how you're feeding your family.
Right. So it's helping you within that pivot. It's helping you with that adjustment, not just through a job, but other resources to possibly fill the gap if need be. That's great. I've had a past guest that was on, this was a while ago, and she mentioned where she's similar in regards of just, it came up during the interview where she talked about, you know, pivoting her job, where she did something and then she knew she wanted to do something else. She figured it was going to be something she did love to do, but she didn't have the training, so she did go to school for that. And she went and she said to her state DVR, or the state-run Department of Vocation Rehabilitation. Is that something that you're familiar with, those a state-run side of it?
Yeah, so there is a state voc rehab office, and they're called different things in every state.
Mm-hmm.
Out there in every state. And so there are different levels. And so they will do an assessment of your situation. And so, yeah, they will pay to go send somebody to college, especially if it's something that the doctor says they can no longer do this job because of their condition. They can go get the classes they need. They can basically pick a new career. And the state will actually pay for that.
Wow.
And a lot of people don't even realize that. And that's actually one thing. I mean, they not only helped me went to school, but they actually helped me buy my van.
Mm-hmm.
They helped me retrofit my van.
Oh,
they wow. actually bought my $50,000 wheelchair. And so, you know, I can't tell you, like I said, is, I'd always sent people there, but I didn't realize how much benefits or bang for my buck
right.
that you could get there. And if I would have known this, you know, like I said, I would have went in a chair 10 years ago if I could have paid for it. Well, now I could have paid for it very easily because I could have got this help 10 years ago and not been out of dime.
So it sounds like that most people are just unaware, not knowing that there are resources like this that they can use as they're going through this change and adjustment. And I'm sorry, you were going to say some more there, Lynn.
Yeah. So I think that, the connection to resources is the hardest part. It's really not knowing where to go. I mean, it's feeling lost already because your body is changing. And acceptance of that piece, and then asking for help. You know, it's really easy for all of us to help others, but when we have to help ourselves, that's probably the hardest thing in the world that we have to do and really think through and ask for help. That's the hardest step sometimes. And so there is help out there. That's the beautiful thing. There's also independent living centers out there, Tim. And independent living centers is like if your home environment needs to change. So not only is it about going to work, but sometimes it's your house just to get out the door to get to work may need to change. And so there's even dollars out there through the independent living centers. And there's a whole smorgasbord again across the country, and every community they're represented somehow, some way. There's usually a regional office, and they can also give you all kinds of tools and help you get the accommodation stuff you may need. Because I mean, you got to take a shower, you got to brush your teeth, you got to get dressed, you got to get out the front door. I mean, all the things that as your body changes. You have, it's not just about work sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I always tell people, you know, work is just kind of a symptom. You got to get there to get to work.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think you touched on something. It is such a big thing to wrap your mind around. I've asked people in the past that have been on the show, and I guess I'll throw this question at you too, because you're someone that, you know, deals with a disability, deals with FSHD, like so many of us that are listening. And what do you find has been more difficult with FSHD? Has it been the physical side, or has it been the emotional or, you know, mental state side of it?
Probably for me, it's more mental.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's it's physical too, but I would say mentally it's harder for me because here I am, you know, a middle-aged woman, and that's what I keep telling myself. I'm middle-aged. I'm hitting 50 this year, Tim.
Yeah.
50, magic number 50. So I'm middle-aged. But, you know, I'm like, I should be in the prime of my life, and yet I feel like I'm an 80-year-old woman.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Physically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so doing things gets really, really frustrating for me because it's like I should be able to, you know, get that pan out of the cabinet and,
right.
you know, carry that box to the car and, you know, just all the little stuff. That's what I get so frustrated about. It's like, really, Lord, come on. And I say that a lot. Come on, Lord, we're going to do this. Come on, legs, we're moving today.
Right, right. Yeah, you got to all like tell them, you know. Yeah, we kind of treat the FSHD thing here in my house like it's a separate identity, you know, like it's this thing that just lives here and it's grouchy. You know, we scold it like, come on, FSHD, come on. Like, really? You're gonna make my legs this sore today? All I did was, you know, go for a little longer walk yesterday for the love of Pete. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I totally hear you.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's probably the thing that bothers me the most. But, I mean, I look down and, you know, I see the physical changes. Mm-hmm. Who can't? I mean, but I also know I'm getting a little bit older and some of that's natural progression of age, too. So, I just say, you know, gravity has taken over my body and it just doesn't work as good because I'm getting stuck closer to the ground.
I suppose. Plus, you know, we're also, you know, unless someone is not from this earth, they all know about this COVID-19 going around and people are being told to stay home. Other places are either closing down or laying off workers. A lot of unemployment is happening right now. And I think that's just an extra layer, you know, on top. It's almost like kicking us while we're down. And for so many that need these kind of resources, how is this going to affect, you know, the nonprofit world or the Goodwills or people that are trying to, you know, they're already in disabled and they're trying to pivot their work and their careers. And then this happens.
Yeah. So what we're doing, you know, the great thing about the Goodwill Network and it is different than even the American Job Centers. Mostly American Job Centers in all these states that got governors that shut the doors. They mm-hmm. literally shut the doors to the job centers down. Goodwill mm-hmm. actually moved everything virtual.
Okay.
So you can call our number. We can still connect you to somebody live. We're not doing anything face-to-face. We're doing a lot of Zoom mm-hmm. and FaceTime and Duo kind of interviews and that kind of thing. But really what I'm trying to get people to work on right now, because in our community across the northern part of the state, we've actually been very beneficial. We've gotten a lot of free Wi-Fi
okay.
for the next 90, 120 days. Mm. We're getting people to do job training.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's
because,
great.
Because I don't want them to do, and we're one of the states that got, you know, that we unemployment and then the $600 bonus that, you know, came through the CARES Act. But right now they're, honestly, those people are making pretty decent money every week.
Mm-hmm.
So why not get some training at the same time? Because you can stay home and you have the money to pay your bills right now.
Right.
And so that's what we've been shifting our focus to do. And when there's a lot of free tools in the Goodwill Network that we're able to like send them of, here's how you learn Excel and here's how you learn Word. And some of the tools that, I mean, I'll just tell you, I know Excel to be dangerous, but I don't know all these shortcuts. That's when I call in my 20-year-old and say, make this work kind of thing. I could honestly take an Excel course again because
right.
what I learned, you know, 12 years ago isn't the time, you know, it's different
mm-hmm.
with the new versions that are out there.
Hmm.
And so that's really what we're doing is in our network. But, you know, we do have employers that call us every day and say, I need some employees. And so
right.
we're still placing.
Still placing.
I think we did 15 jobs last year, and officially our building has been closed since March 22nd, but we placed 15 people in jobs last month,
wow.
which, you know, it's not a horrible number, but it's not a great number, but
yeah.
it's not a horrible number because we're still getting people jobs.
Right. At least it's still happening. Exactly. Well, that's good to know.
What I tried to do, Tim, is really just talk to them because, you know, there I can get them a job. Mm. Are they going to like what they do? Mm. You know, can I get them qualified for those benefits and then help them, you know, get some training right now? So we really have to talk through that with them, and we have to figure out, you know, do they feel safe to even go to work? Because, you know, COVID's scary.
Right.
We're in Louisiana. We're a hot spot. Nobody wanted to come to our state, and we got banned from every state in the country. You know, Mardi Gras was, you know, I'm 5 hours from New Orleans. Mm. I'm in Texas because we're way up on the borders. But, you know, we're hot spots. I mean, our numbers are huge.
Yeah.
The number of people dying and the number of people that have it. I mean, we had 300 new cases just yesterday, and they're wanting to open the country or our state up next week.
Oh,
so it's kind of scary. And so I really have to know that those people feel safe enough to go to work, because I don't want to put them in something that they feel unsafe in. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the first set of questions we go through before we even figure out how to get them the next step of help they may need.
Yeah, is if they're feeling safe to even work, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is scary times on that. That is great info, and I'm glad that we could touch on it. I didn't want that to be the whole, you know, program, because, you know, I think we've all been saturated with it, even though we need to know what's going on. But I definitely wanted to touch on it, considering what you do for a living and how you help so many people. One final thing. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was going to ask you about one final thing, which I thought was kind of fun, because I saw that you posted it, I think, on your Facebook page. So I thought it was okay if I asked about Lynn Stevens Day back on April 28th, 2018.
Yeah, so Lynn Stevens, I have a day named after me. That's probably one of the unique awards I've ever gotten.
That's awesome.
And usually when I send my bio out, that's pretty much the one everybody,
this is
so cool. The mayor here in Bossier City, Louisiana, actually named Lynn Stevens Day for all my hard work in the community of helping people over the years. And I had a nonprofit here that went to the mayor and nominated me and really went after that. And I had no idea it was coming. I actually, it was awarded to me at an event, at a public event, that I had no idea that it was even going to happen that day, because none of my family was there. Nobody was there. It was just me doing my work. And they were like, you have to come to the stage with the mayor. I get pictures taken with the mayor all the time. I'm just another picture.
Right.
And we want you on stage. We're going to present a big check. We want you there. And I'm like, okay, no problem. So I'm there. And sure enough, it was all about me that day. It was pretty interesting and pretty unique. Something I guess I can cross off my bucket list.
There you go. There you go.
Got a day named after me.
That's awesome. I think it was very, very well deserved, and especially what I've learned about you here today and poking around in your life a little bit, so I could kind of, you know, see and know this great person that was coming on our show today. Lynn, we really appreciate you being on here, and all the great advice I think you've given our listeners. And of course, this will be available to all through, you know, podcast listeners, and this will still be available on Facebook even after this show is done. Now, if there's something you missed or something you want to add on to.
Yeah, so Tim, I heard right before I hopped on with you, before you called me, I heard you might need a job. So and you might need a radio job.
Yeah,
so
right. You got one of those?
I have some good connections here. You're really serious about that.
You know what? Let's totally connect. Why the heck not, man? That'd be great.
Yeah, one of the guys that lives right down the street, his wife works for me. She's a placement person. He actually is a paraplegic, and he's a radio DJ, and you know, he does it every day.
That?
I mean, from his house. It's kind of a cool thing.
Oh yeah. 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 We definitely have to have a sidebar on that one, Lynn. We gotta connect there. That just sounds too cool to me. That would be a ton of fun.
Yeah. So, anything I can do out there. I know I've written an article that's going to be in the FSH, I think, article June. June is going to put it in one of the upcoming things. So about whether to work or not to work. And I've given a list of resources that'll be published so people out there can connect. You can find me on Facebook as well. It's, you know, Lynn Nelson Stevens, my maiden name in there, because I did a lot under Nelson way before I got married, kind of thing as well. And so I'm a lot of fun. You can follow me. We're always doing trips and doing crazy things like racing cars or swimming with sharks or doing kinds of weird things.
That's awesome. You're an adventurist as well. That's great, Lynn. That's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing the adventure of your life with us here today. And I look forward to talking to you again.
Absolutely. You just call me anytime. You got my number now.
All right. Awesome, Lynn. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care and have a good night.
You too. That's Lynn Stevens. That was great. That was great. Director of Workforce Development. She was listening before the show started. I love it when our guests do that. And while I wanted to share this little audio clip that I found when I did this is about Lynn Stevens that I found when I was doing the telethon. And I never really had the opportunity, I don't believe, to air it during those telethon breaks that we had. And I think I might have played this in a past episode, but I wanted to share it here because it seemed obviously very fitting. And this is a little news report that was done on Lynn Stevens. So I kind of want to share this with you. And then we come back, we'll close up shop with what's going on in FSHD society and whatnot. Listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.
Goodwill Industries, where each year they serve over 2,000 eager job seekers, many of those.
And I'm one of those individuals. I mean, I have a disability and I go to work every day.
Managing through limitations, just like one of their biggest advocates.
It's been about 10 years, and in that 10 years, I went from walking to in the wheelchair.
It's not by accident that Lynn's 20-year career working in the nonprofit world arrived at Goodwill's Job Center a year ago, a career yet to be sidelined.
And I have muscular dystrophy, had it all my life.
By a cruel disease she didn't realize she even had until age 21, and discovered by a doctor shortly after giving birth to her first child.
Shock. I mean, it's kind of like probably when somebody says you have cancer, you don't know what to say, you don't know what to do.
A disease which is hereditary and now discovered in her son, Colin, while in high school just 3 years ago.
Here everybody does job training, so they'll actually watch videos.
But it hasn't stopped Lynn's dedication to help others who are still able to make a difference somewhere for someone.
You're listening to FSHD Society Radio. Welcome back to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here. And we had a great conversation there with Lynn Stevens. I just wanted to share that clip a little bit of her being recognized in the local community there on that little piece. Now on for some news and notes. And of course, obviously, if you want to reach out to me with questions about the show, or you want to find more information about Lynn, you can go to fshdsociety.org for all that. Emailing me would be great, especially if we want to fill in our upcoming sequester series weekly shows at fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. You can send me what you want to talk about in the upcoming weeks. We'll be on again next week, but we'll be on at 6 p.m. Central Time. What is that? 7 p.m. East, Eastern. So you can join us then as well. But also, I wanted to bring in the events here that are going on in the FSHD Society world. Coming up tomorrow, actually, FSHD has the Connecticut Connections. Kathy Sinicole and Sarah Posh are doing a Zoom meeting at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can join them for that. Also on the 7th tomorrow, there's the Sequester Camp series, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. I believe that's Eastern as well. And there's going to be interesting guest on for that as well. Let me grab my copy information on there, as looks like it's going to be Exploring the National Registry for FSHD with Artificial Intelligence. That is the subject matter. And it's going to be given by Jeffrey Statland and John Hogan. So Jeffrey Statland, MD, is the co-director of the FSHD Clinical Trial Research Network. And looks like John Hagen is the chief of staff for the Watson AI division. So it looks like with IBM, I believe. Yes. So that sounds like fun. Interesting, to tell you honestly. I'll be tuning in, so why don't you as well? Also then, coming up in the 9th is the Colorado virtual meeting, 1 p.m. Eastern. 5:11 coming up, the fitness workouts with Bill and Mitch. They are also our June guest on June 3rd at this time, 8 p.m. Central. We're going to have Mitch Wade and Bill Herzberg on from the Ramp Fitness in Portland. So if you want to get to know them a little better, on the 11th, they have their fitness workouts there. On the 17th, the Bay Area chapter meeting is meeting at 4 p.m. Eastern. And on the 21st of May, it's the Utah virtual chapter meeting. That's at 10 p.m. Eastern. Ooh, that's late. So that's all what's going on in May on FSHD Society. You can go to fshdsociety.org to learn more. So we'll see you next week. I'm so excited that we're going to come to you again in a week. Join me 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 East, as we bring in this Equestria series of the FSHD Society radio show. Those shows are all about you. Let's pass the time together as we are here sequestered or quarantined as we go further. Thanks all for being here. You want to find these shows, I'll post them very quickly, and you'll find other past episodes anywhere you find podcasts. Thank you to my special guest, Lynn Stevens, for being here today, and we look forward to seeing you all and tuning in next week on the FSHD Society radio show. Thank you. Good night.